This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to The Junks, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit CropMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. Coming up in a little over 20 minutes at 8:25, Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington football team, will join us. We'll talk about the two-game win streak. We'll talk about prepping for Seattle and more with Coach Ron. That's coming up at 8:25. So a few days ago, I felt like my Twitter timeline needed a cleanse because there were a billion people on my timeline tweeting pics and wanting to take their pants off because Tiger Woods was hitting a bunch of chunkers.
Oh, he didn't hit chunkers.
He's hitting a bunch of chunkers at, I don't know, his practice facility, whatever. And people were losing their minds. People literally losing their minds watching Tiger Woods hit
people
a few shots on
range. People beyond EB and Valdez?
No, just people in
other
general
people?
On Twitter.
Okay.
Just so many people just
you're not being serious,
retweeting.
Are you?
I am. I didn't know.
Tiger's video on Twitter alone has 7.2 million views.
Does that answer your
question? Of him hitting one crappy 7-iron.
I mean, I guess this is news to JP. Tiger Woods a popular figure still.
I know that.
Today.
Why are you so Rick?
Well, it's just
I just didn't know there was a lot of chatter about it.
Valdez and I. And
Tiger Woods surpassed the NFL on Sunday.
Yeah. You're mocking Valdez and I for having an interest in Tiger.
I asked a question.
No. You said it with a mocking tone. Everyone knows it. You can deny it. And
hey, this is going to be the real fight.
Yeah. You can deny it, but it's literally international news.
I understand
when you post
that.
The video like
but I didn't
that.
Know there was a bunch of social media chatter all over Cakes' timeline.
Oh, just so much. I just felt like I needed to unfollow a bunch of people. I didn't.
Arguably
but
the biggest athlete of the last 50 years. I mean, he's, I don't know, maybe Tom Brady, Tiger.
He might be the greatest athlete of all time.
I mean, he's up in the discussion. So anyway. So
you guys apparently were sparring going back and forth as to how good the swing was.
It's interesting that Valdez had this take, and I'll let him say it for himself. But so someone sends it to me, and I immediately go, oh, this is silly, and I put it out there. And I can't even remember what I tweeted. And I'm just like, no, I think I've never bet against the GOAT, okay? Because I know he's going to come back. When I see that we've been down this road a million times. No, he's the master of the comeback.
Well, it's so funny because this dropped a week after he was limping around.
And I told you he's fine. There's that athletic limp that he had.
Athletic limp.
It's an oxymoron.
You guys are telling me, oh, my God, he can't hit a golf ball.
By the way, I don't even think a limp. I think you can be a good golfer and still limp. Like, it's not critical to walk perfectly.
You actually could. Of course you could. Of course you could. So, anyway, he's hitting balls, and I go, never bet against a goat. We've been down this road. This is what I'm thinking. A million times. The master of the comeback.
You should have seen the foursome when I was playing on Sunday morning. How crazy we were going after this drop. Because this dropped mid-round. We're on hole number 5.
Right.
This came out.
You're going
crazy. And we're high-fiving.
Right. Because, hello. Listen, I'm the first one to say Tiger's a douche. As a person, I just want people to be clear. I have no regard for his personality. But he is one of the most exciting athletes I've ever watched in my lifetime. Okay? And when he's on, I'm riveted. Okay? I love watching Tiger Woods play golf. And I think I speak for a lot of people. A lot of people love watching, except for Cakes.
Be more bored by Tiger Woods playing golf.
Then Valdez,
personally.
I noticed, like 15 minutes later, he goes butt-sized. right?
Yeah, I retweeted Tiger's video, and yeah. I said, officially horny.
Right. And which gave me the creeps, you know, thinking about Valdez being horny.
Yeah, but you felt the same way.
I did.
I know. You were all horned up, too.
I said, this is great, and everybody gets to go. I saw enough. I'm like, that guy's going to win again. He's clearly coming back. He doesn't put that video out unless he's coming back, right? This is the first teaser. I've been down this road a million times. I'm a Tiger expert. So then I come in the next morning, and Valdez, you know, I'm probably lamenting about something else. He's trying to change the topic. And then he goes, so what do you think about that Tiger video?
This is Matt Valdez.
And of course, I'm like, well, I'm psyched about psyched. And then all of a sudden, now his take has changed. Go ahead, Valdez.
Oh, he's pivoted now.
Now his take has changed.
I'm psyched. I'm psyched that he's putting out content and that he's getting us all steamed up for his return to the Masters. But looking at the swing is such a doo-doo old man swing. He's not pushing off the ground. He's rotating through the ball. He's not using his legs. His one leg is so butt skinny. I get psyched that he has jacked arms, but his swing is all poo poo. There's no way that swing is going to win anything. And Eric thinks that swing is silly.
No. Yes,
That is old man golf swing.
Well,
right
he is old.
He's swinging very easy, very gingerly. It's the beginning of the comeback. Every time he comes back, he has a new iteration of his swing. He's the most gifted and talented swinger of the golf club in the history of the world. He's won with various incarnations of the swing. This is one he's going to work around whatever issues he has with the legs. By the time he's full go on tour, whatever that might be for him, maybe it's only 10 tournaments a year at this point, who knows? By the time he's in the middle of whatever comeback this is, he will be going after it 150 miles an hour.
I don't know if he's going to
be... It will be dramatically more involved than what you're seeing.
I don't know if he can attack the ball anymore.
Go look. You want to give you an example? Go look at his previous comeback videos.
I've seen those. Where he's at the simulator.
Yes, they were the same way. Very gingerly. Very a different swing. He's going to be just fine.
Ginger is an understatement for this swing.
And by the way,
he's hitting a 7-iron. It's going about 130.
Okay.
Nubs.
And by the way, he doesn't need to hit it 330 or 350 or whatever to win. He's won a major before hitting irons off the tee, okay? All he needs to be is locked in and putting well. Because all he got to do is just get it out there and get it on the green and putt well. And he's probably the greatest putter of all time.
Tiger will win again if he plays up a tee box with that swing.
Okay. I'll take out all the bets. Tiger's going to win again. But by the way, I didn't even know this. Paige Spiernak, who you guys love to tease me for bringing her up on the show, you know what she tweeted?
Picture of her jugs.
That's the best guess.
That's her brand.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
But you know what she tweeted along with that video?
What?
She said he's going to win another major. Just from what?
What does she know?
She's a world-class golfer. I mean, she's an elite golfer.
A failed golfer.
She's
a collegiate golfer.
Yeah, she was a great golfer. She won.
I know a lot of college golfers.
Okay, she won tournaments in college. She tried to play professionally and failed. Yeah, I mean, just because she has big jugs doesn't mean she's not an elite golfer. She's an elite golfer.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, I'll give you that.
All right.
I will say his upper body is massive in the video.
Well, you can only imagine.
I actually think Tiger has my dream body.
He does.
What, skinny legs?
Skinny legs. Most guys don't want skinny legs. He looks silly in shorts.
Right. You like his bird legs?
Yeah, I like his bird. And that compression sleeve looks silly on him.
Oh, no.
He's got jacked arms.
Turkey, chicken.
He's just, you know, got no torque
anymore. Whose side are you on?
Unfortunately, I'm on Valdez's side.
Okay.
Because it's a nub swing, and I've seen his swing for 25 years
right,
now.
Do you understand? He's just starting. This has probably been swinging for a month.
I want to hear Drab's swing analysis.
And Drab's usually very pro-Tiger. I'm shocked by this stance.
In a year, not this year's Masters, next year's Masters, in 2023.
I know. He's the new Freddie Couples, where he knows the course, and he can put a sick round together
to play,
on Thursday.
He'll be
but
able
by
to
Friday,
until
his,
60.
His legs are burning, and he has to withdraw.
Nah, that ain't good.
Yeah, that's the new Tiger.
Okay. Stand in line. That, all the people betting against Tiger.
That shot wouldn't even make it over Race Creek.
That'd be right in the water.
So much joining. I'm just so glad that my timeline is no longer getting inundated by Tiger's swing. I can't analyze his swing. I know nothing about
golf
swings.
Just wait
until
he posts the next video when he pulls the driver out.
You know what? I'm going to have to block a bunch of people.
By the way, that will be the next video. Is Tiger graduating to driver? Making my prediction.
Okay.
I've been down this road before. I know what he does. That'll be the next video.
You're probably right.
Graduating to the driver, and it might even zoom in and show that he's swinging 150 miles an hour. Or whatever.
Will he hit balls at the Hero World Challenge? His next appearance.
He might
in the
do a clinic.
Rom's favorite. December
2nd. What I've seen him do before is he'll do like a clinic.
He'll either do a clinic or he will give full access to the media when he's hosting it.
Oh yeah,
and
for
that,
sure.
That's the reason why I put this out, by the way, so that he would get questions about it at Hero.
Well, I mean,
the Bahamas.
He's promoting the brand, and I believe Tiger wants to come back and play. I mean, what else he going to do?
Hey, would you make of? I know it's not golf season. Would you make of Rory ripping his shirt like he's Hulk Hogan after he a bad round or whatever?
Did he actually do that mid round, or did he do that in the clubhouse?
He did it in the clubhouse. He shot a 74 on Sunday for.
And then when he got away from the
Dubai,
cameras,
he raced to Dubai. Yeah, he ripped his shirt.
Did you see that, Cakes?
I did not.
Lucia, look at it. He looks like the Hulk.
He's just massive.
No, he raged out. Ripped his shirt from the collar down.
Right.
You might rip your shirt if you lost out on 3.6 milli.
Oh yeah, I'd be salty.
Yeah,
but what? How much does he have in the bank at this point?
$200 million.
Yeah, I mean,
easy. I made of it. I thought it was kind of embarrassing. I thought it was embarrassing.
If you snap your club or rip your shirt on the course, you're our loser.
Yeah. Believe me, I've chucked plenty of clubs in my day.
Do you still see people doing that out of the at the courses?
Take a club and just
like
send
it.
I've seen people heave it.
I've done it. You know who's done it more than me? That guy right there.
Bishop?
Oh.
What about the guys that JP golfs with?
I don't
think
they do.
They don't care.
They don't care. Yeah. I stopped caring 15 years ago, so I don't do that anymore.
They're not all hackers. I got a couple buddies who are good, but yeah. I do play with a lot of hackers.
Those clubs are so expensive, I would never do that. Now, if I four putt, I'll take a ball and toss it into the lake as I walk by because I don't want to play with it anymore. That's the most I'll do.
Get rid of that egg.
I don't do anything anymore. I don't even care. I just shake my head.
We're 50 years old. You're still throwing clubs at me.
When I have a bad hole, I beg people to play pickleball next time. That's all I do.
That's your
move. I say, why are we out here?
Yeah.
We should be playing pickleball. That's my shtick.
Well, EB's generally not fun to play with. Your brother says he hates playing with you.
Yeah, he hates playing with me, but he plays with me all the time.
Oh, well, because you're free.
Because I sport it. He gets hot.
Yeah, right. I don't think that's true lately, because I don't care.
You're a little more chipper?
I just don't care. I think I was not fun to play with when I would take it so seriously. But I don't,
Yeah, now you just punt.
I
you
know.
You go out and play and you punt rounds.
I have fun. No, I try my hardest, but I know that I've peaked.
Sure.
And there's no improving.
No.
It's all downhill.
Improving.
Yeah, because I don't have time.
How you can improve?
Well, the only way you improve, you play all the time.
You do have time.
No, I don't have the attention span.
You've been talking about 3-hour naps.
I don't have the attention span.
Everybody, I don't care.
I don't even hit balls before I play. I just hit a few chips, a few putts. I have no interest in hitting balls. Butt boring to me.
So Valdez is mad at you for the Tiger Woods swing. He's mad at me because I haven't watched the first episode of Yellow Jackets on Showtime yet, which he's raving about.
By the way,
what is that about?
Valdez, the mic is yours.
It's on Showtime. It's about a soccer team whose plane crashed in the woods of Canada, and they're become barbaric.
Are they like eating each other and everything?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
it. Well, it's a lock. I'm going to watch it. I haven't watched it yet on Valdez's timeline.
So that's why you brought him up if a certain guy here at the radio station. If we had to eat somebody, like that's what you're thinking
actually
about.
I've actually kind of been thinking about. That's why I've been thinking about it.
We were commenting on some dudes that love handles.
Who would be tasty around the office?
Valdez has a number one seat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What a horrible thought! Just eating somebody to stay alive.
Didn't that happen in real life? Like in the
alive? Yes.
Yeah, alive.
Yeah, Chile.
Yeah, they crashed.
Did
in
that
the
really
Andes
happen,
mountains.
Or was that just a movie?
Oh,
did
that
it happened. Really happen?
They
really
were a soccer team too, or something.
Yeah.
And they picked a guy, and they said, "We're gonna eat
no,
you."
No, I think once they donked off, they started eating.
They didn't just.
Oh. But it wasn't like a sacrificial thing?
No, no. It was, no. Some people died in the crash, and then other people died because they were stranded in the elements.
Well, that's perfectly fine.
I think. You got to do what you
have. Someone just dies naturally, and you eat them to survive.
Yeah.
But if I think it would be brutal if you like drew the short straw, and you're the one that's going to get eaten.
Yeah.
That's never happened?
I don't know if that's ever happened.
I bet it's happened.
I think so.
I bet it's happened where someone sacrifices himself, like for their kids or something. And they're like, you know what? We're not going to make it. I'm probably going to donk off. So just eat
me. Yeah. Use me as sustenance.
Eat me. Eat my butt cheeks. Eat my buns.
What a terrifying thought.
Yeah.
First of all, a plane crash. And then your body's going to be consumed by the people that are still alive.
Yeah. It's a hurting thought.
Terrible thought.
I thought we used to pay attention to what we were talking about right before Ron Rivera.
Oh, is Ron listening?
Well, he's not listening. I think
he doesn't care.
Porn and stuff like that. Right. I think we're good.
But eating people,
I think
fine.
We talk about cannibalism, then I think we're all right.
For the sake of accuracy, now I'm on Wikipedia. It looks like it was a flight from Uruguay. Uruguayan Air Force Flight 571 in the Andes Mountains.
Yeah.
Maybe it landed in Chile?
I don't know. I'll tell you where it landed. On a freaking mountain.
The top of a mountain.
Yeah. It didn't really land. It crashed.
It didn't land on a runway.
There's a big difference. Yeah. Major difference. All right.
I like thinking about JP gnawing on somebody's arm going, I wish they had Boston Market.
You sleep.
Right,
good cheat code.
Next, we will have Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington football team. He's coming up next here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Happy to be joined now on the BetQL guest hotline by Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington football team, presented by FH Fur Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Absolutely the best for absolutely the best service. Call 877-CALL-FUR or visit FHFUR.com. Good morning, coach. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Taylor Heineke.
Had Taylor not played well and had you guys lost and Cam had played well,
it would have
been
a week.
It would have been a floodgate of call after call after call. Why didn't you guys bring in Cam?
It would have been a disaster for us, coach.
So we thank you.
I'm glad I can make your life easy.
and you have the last couple weeks, and I'll be honest with you. I told people to bet their 401ks on Tampa. Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm a Washington fan.
That's not sound financial advice. We know that, coach.
No. And yeah, I emptied my account and I had to reload.
But, you have little faith.
No, I don't. I have no faith. But
okay.
The win was huge. I love the momentum. What you did this week. Now, I did have faith against the Panthers, and you'll take this personally, but don't. They're just the Panthers to me.
No, you're right, Jay. They're only the second-ranked defense in the NFL, but that's okay. You guys want to stick with numbers? I'm good. I'm good.
No. They have respectable defense.
I'm good.
No, I'm good.
They beat the number one team in the NFC 2 weeks ago. You know, that's okay. We're fine. We're going to do our best. We promise we will show up and give our best.
You do. But, again, I just want to disrespect them because we have three trophies. They have zero trophies last time I checked. We're a heritage franchise. They're an expansion franchise. I will always pick us against the Panthers. Now, don't take that personally, given your history. I understand.
I'm glad to know you care.
Well, Coach, how be honest, how good did it feel to shove it on your former team in their house? It had to be just super satisfying.
No, it was. It was very satisfying, and mostly because of the way our guys played. I mean, I really appreciated the effort they had. I really appreciated their whole preparation, the week, and everything we did. You know, I, again, it's one of the things that as this team grows and develops, you know, those are the type of performances we expect. I mean, this is a young group of guys that are learning to do things a specific way, and that's the way we need them to do it to give us the best chance. And really, really, you know, excited about what we've seen. And again, you know, started about 4 weeks ago. Unfortunately, you know, we didn't get to win those last two games prior to what happened with Tampa. But you know, I just feel like our guys are coming together, and we just got to continue to work every week, focusing on that one game at a time mentality.
And we talked about this last week, Coach. It looks like there's been a real commitment to the run the last couple of weeks. If you look at the run pass ratio, and it also helps when you grab a lead.
That's a big factor.
Oh yeah. That's most certainly one of the biggest things that you have, and is if you can play with a lead, it changes the whole mentality. It changes the whole outlook for both sides.
Why is it, Coach, that, and I wasn't aware of this, but I was made aware that in Carolina, you often were a second-half team. That's been the characterization, right? You often played better, right? This is a mark of a well-coached team. They played better in the second half. That seems to be the trend here again. Obviously, you want to get off to a better start. But is there something to the effect of your philosophy on coaching and why your team would do better in the second half versus the first half? Are you, like, paring things down typically as the season progresses, you know? I mean, like, what happens that's kind of your
deal? You're talking about second half of the season. I'm trying to think of a second half game.
No, second half of the season.
You know, it's funny because if you look at the change and the transition that we've had, that's the one thing I try to get everybody to understand. This is my 9 years in Carolina. We had 9 different secondaries. We never had the same secondary. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's the truth. It's just, you know, because of contracts, because of, you know, trying to get the drafts correct, trying to get the free agency correct. And I've been saying this, as these guys get more and more comfortable and they work together a little bit more, because you look at the secondary, it's completely different from last year. I mean, the only real constant that's been there has really been Cam Curl. You know, we've moved people all over the place. So as guys settle into a spot now, you know, you start to see things come together, and being able to have some consistency on the names on your roster is completely, you know, something that you need. And if you look at the stretch we had from 2013 to 2017 in Carolina, with exceptions of the injuries we had in 16, that was pretty much the same core. You know what I'm saying? And so if we can get the core established early, as to who that group of guys is going to be going forward, and avoid some the catastrophes in terms of injuries, you know, you'll play more consistent. But we've struggled this year because, again, look at the injuries we've had. You know, our whole right side of our offensive line has been out for 5 weeks. You know, our number one tight end's been out. We had a group of injuries on the defensive line. We've had injuries in the wide receiver position. It's not like, you know, these are the same 22 guys that are starting every week and playing.
And yet
every
you're
week.
Playing better, though, Coach. That's the point. Like, even though you've had all this change.
Right, but we've also, but we, what week is this? This is week 11, right?
Right, whatever, yeah.
Okay, all right, cool. Just checking. I mean, you know, it,
what's
again,
the point? What do you mean by that?
Well, the point is because, again, we just talked about it. This is a group of different players. This is not the same 53 we had last year.
Right.
It's not plug and play. This is learn, grow, and develop. Again, guys, you know, just because of what happened last year doesn't mean this is a plug and play. We're growing. We're developing. It's going to take a little bit to change things, to make things the way we need them to be, so give us an opportunity to be a consistent winner in this league. This is hard. This is not simple.
Well, Coach Rivera, why don't
we're going to go through these growing pains, and, you know, the biggest thing is it's called patience. It's called patience. Because if you're constantly trying to plug, unplug, you know, trade, bring this guy and bring that guy, you're not going to have any continuity. Now, you may hit once in a while, but does that work all the time?
Coach Rivera, let's talk about one of the guys, though, that has been there all year long, and it seems like he's in a different role. Maybe you can explain how Landon Collins, where he was playing at the beginning of the season, what he's doing differently now.
Oh, I love the way Lamb is playing right now. I mean, he's a downhill, physical, in-the-box type player who can play the overhang spot. You know, basically what he is and is what we call the Buffalo nickel, the big nickel. Mm-hmm. And he plays a hybrid position where he comes down, he plays basically underneath in coverage, he plays at the point of attack versus the run, and he plays downhill and through the creases when we blitz him.
And that's different than the beginning of the season, because at the beginning of the season there were times where he was on the back end and beaten over the top.
He played the back end for us, and one of the things that we felt was that we needed a physical presence at that Buffalo nickel spot for the most part, and he's the guy. I mean, it's kind of what we were contemplating as we got into the season. And as the season progressed and we did see him rotate down into the box, we knew this is the guy that we got to put there. And he's been very beneficial for us having him in that position.
Well, one thing offensively, Coach, that you mentioned is all the different injuries that you've been dealing with. And, man, that offensive line. Look, I think overall offensively, the way you guys have held up, even though we went with that scoring drought there for a couple games, that was just weird. But, like, the offensive line played really, really well. I mean, you guys are down to, like, your third center. It's unbelievable. And again, I'm just a fan. I just talk trash. I'm a nothing. Yeah. But when I noticed John Bates, that guy can block.
Yes.
Right? Was he not the key guy that sealed for Gibson when he scored that touchdown 2 weeks ago?
Yep. He's,
That guy can play, man.
Well, the biggest thing, guys, is you know, I'm very fortunate. We have some really good coaches on our staff. We really do.
Yeah.
We have some really good veteran guys, old school guys. You know, and these guys demand a lot of our guys. They spend a lot of time with them. You know, one of the things I got to give credit to, too, and we did it last year as well, was our depth at offensive line. It's one of the things that we consciously try to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. We try to keep anywhere between 13 to 15 guys in the offensive line room. You know, we have probably anywhere between 9 to 10 of those guys active on the 53 roster. And then we have anywhere between, I'm going to say, 3 and 6 guys on practice squad. And that way, if something happens, we have guys that are constantly being trained. And hopefully these guys are guys that are ready to be the next man up mentality. And it's one of the things that we preach that, hey, you know, you're an injury away. You're 2 injuries away. Nothing is a given. The one thing we talk about too, and you guys probably heard it a lot. And you guys probably heard it ad nauseum but you've heard me talk about position flex. If you look at the guys that stepped in and played for us, Cornelius Lucas being able to play left side or right side and started for us last year and has started for us again this year, has done a tremendous job because he has the flexibility of playing the left side or the right side at us for tackle for us. Then you look at our center and you look at what Tyler Larson was able to do in terms of playing center guard, and he gets hurt. And then we take Wes Schweitzer, who has played guard and center. Now he's starting at the center for us. You know, that's why position flex is so important, is that you have depth with those kind of players. And, you know, we've really stressed that for really pretty much all of our players. If you're not the starter, you've got to have the flexibility to play more than one spot.
Well, listen, I want to jock Taylor a little bit too, because he's been a huge part of your offense, huge part of your wins. This is a guy who a year and a half ago was on his sister's couch, okay? And his growth, I mean, everyone loves his story, everyone. So even if people don't think he's a long-term answer, whatever, everyone roots for him. I know I do. This guy currently right now, Coach, and I don't know if you agree with this, I think playing quarterback is the hardest job in the world. To be an elite-level NFL quarterback, there are about 15 or 20 of them in the world. Right?
Yep.
Think of another job that's that unique and that small. He right now, coming off his sister's couch a year ago, he's 0.3 of a point behind Ben Roethlisberger in quarterback rating. And by the way, these ratings all have their flaws. We get that. But still, he's ranked ahead of Tua. He's ranked ahead of Baker Mayfield. He's ranked ahead of Jalen Hurts. He's ranked ahead of Matt Ryan, Ryan Tannehill, Daniel Jones. This guy right now is playing in the top 30, like, top 20 in the world right now.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Oh, I agree. I mean, the young man is growing and developing. You know, let's not forget, he's only had 11 starts. And as he continues to grow and develop, hopefully the offense will come along with him, the team will come along with him. And, you know, we talked about it earlier in the year. What we want from that position is a guy that can manage it and then make plays when he needs to. And this is what this guy does. He's smart. He understands the game. you know, he's just a guy that, again, has only had 11 starts, so we'll see how it continues to go.
We know his limitations, but we also know he's got that extra, right?
Is
there a chance, if Taylor plays lights out, continues to play at this level, that makes quarterback much less of a priority for you next season in terms of your offseason acquisitions and that sort of thing? In other words, can he play himself into the starting job next year, or is that, you know what I mean? Some people say, no matter what, you guys are looking for a quarterback.
Well, I'll tell you this much right now. We're looking for our franchise quarterback. Is that guy on our roster right now, or is that guy out in free agency, or is that guy in the draft? We'll find out. That's what we've got. You know, what do we got, 8 games left to play?
But right? There's a chance he's on your roster.
Who, Taylor?
No, the franchise quarterback. There's a chance he's on your roster right now.
Absolutely, and there's a chance he could be in free agency. There's a chance he could be in the draft. Guys, well, I'm not closing any doors on any position. I mean, again, that's the thing everybody got to understand. The only way you get better is obviously bringing in better players and developing them and growing them. If you can home grow a guy, that's even better. So we'll see. It'd be crazy right now to shut the door on anything else. I mean, we have to keep our eyes and ears open, and we got to keep our options out there. But again, this is the question I asked when I first got to Carolina. It was our franchise quarterback on the roster? Was he in free agency, or was he in the draft?
And you got to find out. Coach Ron Rivera, I need to know, what are you having for breakfast right now?
What am I having? I'm going to have eggs. I'm going to have English muffin, I think is what they have coming up, and then I'll have some fruit, and I'll take my medicine and my vitamins.
So well, what is the schedule on a Tuesday like for Coach Rivera? So you do your interview. What does the rest of the day look like? Like, when does Coach Ron Rivera actually get home on a Tuesday?
Do you work 4 hours like Jumps do?
Yeah, we get to leave at 10. Coach.
Exactly. What I'll be doing is, well, I'll go into a meeting at 9 o'clock with defensive guys and just kind of go through it with them, listen to what they're talking about, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I'll meet with Scott Turner after lunch at some point and go through what he's talking about, what he's thinking, you know, and just give my opinion. I don't hold these guys to anything because, you know, they that's why we hired them, is to do their jobs. But I most certainly do talk and interject with these guys about what my thoughts are. You know, a great example last week, you know, knowing Cam and knowing some of the things, I had some suggestions that I gave to Jack and he used a couple of them and he didn't use the other ones, which was fine. And same thing with Scotty. Scotty and I talked about certain things. We talked about running the ball. You know, we talked about getting on the edges. We talked about, certain routes and stuff like that versus what they did in coverage. You know, and again, Scott listened, took a couple things to heart, a couple things, you know, that he didn't think fit. So, again, I don't hold these guys to that stuff. I'm here as a sounding board, as somebody that, you know, if they ask a specific question, they're going to get an answer. And then I'll meet with Nate Katzer, our special teams coach, at some point today as well. I'll patrol the hallways every now and then, just kind of see what players are around and maybe pull a guy aside and talk to him and, you know, say something about the way he played or some things he's got to do to get better. I mean, you know, and then I'll meet with the training staff to see where everybody is in terms of the guys that are injured or their rehab schedule, what guys are how they'll be able to practice, what their tempos will be tomorrow. And just try to go through a lot of things. And then at some point I will try to take a nap, because I'm still, I'm still in recovery.
Yeah.
And, I get wore down pretty fast still too. So, you know, it's one of those things. It's just all part of what I'm going through right now. And, you know, for the most part, I will, and then I'll meet with our personnel people, go through some stuff. And then I'll also meet with, I'll meet with Jason, and we'll go through some stuff that's going on with the team and on both sides of the building, you know, both business and football. And, it makes for a pretty, pretty complete
pretty
day.
Exhausting day, Coach.
It's a lot of meetings.
I'm tired just hearing about it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. And then the one thing I forgot. At 8:30, I got to do some media thing. I'm not sure what the hell.
Yeah, right, I know. Yeah.
I get it. 8:25, yeah. Coach.
8:25.
Well, Coach, is it 8:25?
Yeah, it's 8:25.
It was 8:30. I couldn't figure out. I was giving you 5 extra minutes. Yeah. Crap.
Coach, thanks as always for the time. Have a great Thanksgiving and best of luck against Seattle on Monday night. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Coach.
I just want to tell you guys this thing. Yeah. You know, listening to you guys every now and then, for whatever reason, I don't know why I even put you on, but I'll listen to you every now and then. I think to myself, God, these guys are unbelievable. I mean, they're all over the place. They're like Ricochet Rabbit. I mean, it's hilarious.
Oh, there you go. I think think that's a compliment.
Ricochet rabbit. I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah. And by that, I mean you guys are everywhere. You are bouncing off of every topic in sports in the city. It is crazy.
Yeah. Welcome to D.C.
Yep.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Jim. We'll talk again soon. That's head coach Ron Rivera.
Is that an endorsement?
I think so.
I think it was an endorsement.
Hey, can we put that on a thing?
That's definitely a promo.
That's a promo. Definitely is.
We're Ricochet Rabbit.
I don't know what that means.
Hey, dude. I offended him at the beginning.
Yeah, you
of the
definitely
interview.
Did.
Yeah, because you were what a dumb
statement.
You were poo-pooing. Here's what you were doing.
What did you do? You
I was just trying to make
over.
It fun.
You were poo-pooing on the Panthers, which is a team that he helped build.
I know, but they're still the Panthers.
Hey, do you think Ron was listening to Brown Friday?
He might have been. It's very possible. It's a very good chance.
Their trophy case is empty because he didn't win a Super Bowl.
Hey, it's part of the, you can't contain the genius. You just can't. All right, coming up a bit later, actually in about 20 minutes or so, Trevor Van Riemsdyk from the Capitals is going to join us.
TVR!
The Caps as they return from their West Coast swing. That's coming up at 9 a.m. here on The Fan.
Listening to you guys every now and then, for whatever reason, I don't know why I even put you on, but I'll listen to you every now and then. I think to myself, God, these guys are unbelievable. I mean, they're all over the place. They're like Ricochet Rabbit. I mean, it's hilarious. No, and by that, I mean you guys are everywhere. You are bouncing off of every topic in sports in the city. It is crazy.
That's head coach Ron Rivera. If you missed our interview with him, first of all, how dare you? But if you did, you can go to the Odyssey app and you can listen to it whenever. But good to have Ron on heading into Thanksgiving, heading into their matchup with the Seattle Seahawks.
it's kind of
a wacky interview.
I like
we didn't even get to talk about the Seahawks with them.
Yeah, we didn't even touch on them.
I'm predicting the Seahawks.
EB just brought up the empty trophy case in Carolina, which makes
me
laugh.
He's responsible for.
Here's the honest truth how the way my brain works. As soon as I started going down there, I knew. I was like, wait a second, that guy's there for 10 years.
Yeah.
But I go, it's kind of funny, though.
Yeah. So. I mean, he was there. I mean, they came into the league, I think, in 1995. So they've only been in existence for 26 years. Yeah. So he was there for like 35% of those that time, roughly.
Listen, I know. Hold him responsible.
I actually think it's the ultimate compliment from Ron, because Ron's a very serious guy, it seems
like.
Yeah.
And if we're able to, and if he finds you guys hilarious, possibly the producers too. Hilarious.
Yes.
Then that's that. I think you guys are doing your job.
We're in the cap right there. 100%. Hey, we'll take that.
100%. Turns out Ricochet Rabbit's a real thing.
Never, so
it's
I don't
before
even know
our
that
time.
Is.
I've never heard that term.
It's before
ever
our
used.
Time. I just Googled it. It was a Hanna-Barbera cartoon, 1964.
You know what? You know what that is? He's a little bit older than us. I think he's 59. Yeah. He's not that much older. Like, he's 8 years
older
than us.
You sleep on his pal, Droopalong.
that's EB's power line.
That's how he's that joke was following. Droopalong.
Ricochet Rabbit and Droopalong.
Cousin Brucey, Wolfman Jack, and the Junkies. Yeah. Those are Ron's top three.
Radio icons, radio legends, and old guys.
Why do I think we haven't met him in person, okay?
No.
I feel like if we did meet him in person.
He'd win you over.
Well, yeah, but... Like years ago, North Turner gave us cigars, like 25 years ago. I mean, we're normal guys, but I feel like he would give us a vice grip. Like he would give us the firmest handshake ever.
You. Yeah.
I know. There was a woman, the woman that owned the Comedy Loft or whatever the heck that was here.
Oh, right.
What's the name of that joint?
Comedy Loft.
DC Comedy Loft. Yeah.
She gripped my, I gave her one of these. She gripped my hand so, I didn't, you know, my hand.
Really?
I didn't get a chance to get it in there and I walked
away. But you
away.
A lot of times give the anti-firm
Hold on, she
handshake.
She gripped your hand hard?
I stopped doing that.
You've gotten better?
She gripped me real quick.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
I changed that about 10 years ago,
You used
ago,
to give kind of a really
I used
bad
to give
handshake.
A really, because I didn't want to overwhelm people. And there is a subtle reason I can tell you off the air why I changed. And then I realized, no, I got to go back to trying.
Sure.
And so she gave me the strongest, and I just whimpered away.
Yeah, you just cowered.
I wanted
and
to
she was
cowered.
A pretty petite woman.
Yeah, yeah, I know. She just grabbed my fingers.
You know what she did? She boned you.
She pwned me.
Well, I think Ron.
I felt like the biggest wuss.
Like, what do you think? How do you think Ron would size us up in person? Like, if for whatever reason, we all went to the park.
Right.
No, here's how I think it would go.
Which will
never happen. And I don't take this personally. I don't want to meet him. Because I don't want to get into a mode where I can't criticize him or I can't You know, like
pass that mode already. Yeah.
No. But if I meet a guy,
well, yeah. Like,
let me tell you something. I will. I'll tell you right now. He could light a nuke off right here. I won't criticize Charlie Casserly. I'm indebted to him, and he's I love what he did to us 20 years ago.
Sure.
He could make the worst picks on TV. He can
advocate do no wrong.
The worst positions.
Yeah,
I will never criticize Charlie Casserly.
Well, also it's having mic muscles too. Like,
that's true too. But like, once you meet somebody, it's totally different. You know what I mean? You just feel like you're not going
to. Because he's just trying to do his job, and in the end, he's trying to win games.
Of course.
All right. Like Logan Thomas could drop 10 balls, 10 touchdowns, and I would say it's Taylor's fault.
Right. Yeah, right.
Ball was slippery.
Right, of course. Because you like him and you're friends with him. You don't want to criticize your
right,
friends.
Right, of course.
Yeah, so I don't want to know him. I don't want to be buddies with anybody. I just want to be me. I just want to be just rude, disrespectful, lighthearted. But also let them know, like, I know nothing. What I should say should be nothing.
I think we're
going to
be okay. I don't think we're going to cross paths with Coach Ron anytime soon.
Yeah, I have no desire to.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, you never met Scott Brooks, and he certainly got a pass from you.
No. Scott came in once or twice. He did. He came in studio.
Scott Brooks did?
Yep.
He did. And I hung out with him in the box of the Post Malone show.
No, Scott came in, I think, twice. He did.
All right,
I think
he
came in one, at least
when
once.
And it took me 5 years, but I knifed them in the back at the end. I knifed them in the very end. But nobody, and that's why I'm always self-deprecating with these guys, because I want them to
Brutus
know, like,
Bickle.
I don't want them to, like, I know I'm a nothing. I know nothing. Who cares what I think? Who cares?
So, do you notice that when you say that to Ron, he agrees?
Yeah, of course. Yes. But it's also my way of buttering him up.
We're just trying to have fun.
I'm just a fan. Him up.
I don't know anything. Yep.
I think he's trying to have fun with us, too.
He's
busting our chops.
Yes,
it's good. We're in kind of a... It's a little bit of an adversarial relationship. At the same time, it's kind of good-spirited. And it's nice. He's actually listening to the show here and there.
If Ron likes the show so much, I encourage him to put on Bit Season.
There you have it.
I knew that was good. Can you imagine?
Give it a listen.
Could you imagine if Coach says, hey, can you put on Bit Season?
Right. I really want that behind the scenes junk
swap. He tells his assistant, can you upload Bit Season?
I'm a big AWOD fan. Big Mark. I love that kid.
He'd probably like it because it's just joning on the show.
Right. But I was trying to also get him to say, but he wouldn't, that there was like a likelihood that we might have our franchise quarterback on the roster. I was trying to corner him there a little
bit. No, he's keeping all those options open.
He saw where I was coming, Cakes.
Yep. He sniffed that out from a mile away.
I tried to corner him.
Well, I am thankful that the team won.
Absolutely.
And has won the last two. Because it would have been miserable had they been. They could easily be, what, they were 2-6?
Yeah.
Imagine 2-8.
Oh, it'd be dreadful. It'd be horrible.
Here, you want me to give me some truth serum right now? Go ahead, inject me.
All right, here you go. There you go.
I'm picking
big dose.
I'm picking Seattle this week because I've been disappointed
down,
a million times. Yeah.
You know this.
I'm desperate for Washington to win, and deep down, I think we should win.
Right.
But I'm picking Seattle because I've been down this road a million times. I'm always let down.
Right.
But we should win.
I'm kind of with you.
Okay, I'm picking Seattle.
Now,
Russell
you're
going
to hate to hear this. I'm leaning towards the Washington football team, too.
Well,
and you know my record with picks of late.
Yeah.
It's not been stellar. All right, when we come back, we'll talk some puck. We'll be joined by Trevor Van Riemsdyk, defenseman for the Washington Capitals. He's going to be on the Fan next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.